Thanks, Gail. Patty Voynich from P&K Research. Congratulations, Katie. You said my last name right. She had anxiety about it. And so after Gail's team tells the client that they need to go into consumer testing, I'm going to talk you through how some best practices or some tips for displaying the consumer quantitative data in an easier to understand way. In a subtitle here, I'm going to be displaying some more advanced statistical outputs and providing some tips for how to visually or illustratively illustrate the ahas from those more advanced statistical outputs. And so just a disclaimer, I'm showing a couple of outputs that were shown in previous presentations. No offense to anybody. And so storytelling with data. I have this book. I brought it here. I have it on my desk. I don't have an experience to share with you. Like, I read it cover to cover, and I couldn't put it down. But I definitely can't get it off my desk. I use it as reference. I have sticky notes marking sections that I consistently go to for tips and tricks. One thing that Cole has taught me is to compartmentalize the data into exploratory data versus explanatory data. So the advanced statistical output that many of us in the room are very comfortable with, I think of it as our exploratory data that needs to go in the appendix. And of course, you need to know your audience is the key theme that everyone's saying. Need to know your audience, when you should show more of this technical information, and when you need to be more illustrative and give the ahas of what came out of that statistical output that we so diligently ran. Here's a few examples of outputs that I have seen from statisticians. I work very closely with statisticians. I'm not a statistician. No offense to any statisticians. I owe credit to many statisticians for my success in the industry. But when I see outputs like these, I have a head-spinning moment, and I kind of stare at them like a deer in headlights. I think a lot of you could relate to this. So this example here is not related to sensory science per se, but a reference from Cole's book brought me to this illustration of how different espresso drinks are made. And a person created this because going to the coffee shop was an intimidating experience for him. And if you can imagine that just going to the familiar Starbucks is intimidating, well, showing our statistical outputs can be very intimidating as well. So this graphic made me realize the difference between my usual morning latte and my after-dinner cappuccino. There's just a little bit more milk foam in the cappuccino. And so that was an aha moment for me for coffee. So one other non-sensory related example is a segue into the examples I'll show. My 9-year-old was watching Netflix, the show called Brain Games, which talks about how your mind plays tricks on you when you watch magic tricks or illusionists like David Blaine. And as he's watching it on a Saturday afternoon, I heard this quote, and then I made him rewind it so I could hear it again and again. And I thought, oh, this is a great segue for my presentation in a few weeks. As long as information comes at us in an orderly fashion, we can make sense of the world around us. When overwhelmed by too much information or too many choices, your brain can freeze and easily lose track of what's happening around you. And I thought, orderly fashion, that's a key theme for this message today. And with that, an idea of establishing orderly fashion, some kind of framework to convey your message. So here we're testing the prototype that Gail tested in her descriptive panel with the reduces malodor after 48 hours. So let's see if the consumers catch on to that too. And so rather than introducing your objectives as just straight bullet points, I like these post-its. You'll see the post-its tomorrow in Richard Popper's presentation at 8:30 after the gala, so make sure you attend tomorrow morning. I like these post-its as a setting of framework to organize the information that we're going to be displaying throughout our report or our presentation. So here we have four objectives. We want to understand, is the prototype performance versus current? How does it perform versus competition? Are there any improvement opportunities? And how does the prototype fit with the brand? That's a lot of information to process. So let's come up with an orderly fashion in which we communicate that message and the outcomes of the statistical techniques we're going to use. So the idea being that as you go slide by slide, you label each slide with whatever graphic you choose to set that orderly fashion or that framework to identify which statistical outputs are answering each of the different objectives. And there's a call out for hashtag what would Cole do, because she taught me to use blues and grays, blue to highlight the thing you want people to focus on. Here it's the prototype, and gray for the lesser important things on the chart. Here's an example of setting orderly fashion to introduce statistical steps. This would be introducing statistical steps for drivers of liking, where we would merge the descriptive data from Gale with the consumer quantitative data. And the idea being we would carry those graphics throughout to convey our message in an orderly fashion. Another learning from Cole, and this brings me to an important point. We're often challenged with creating a document that serves two purposes, either both a more detailed report that's a leave-behind document for people to reference later, and a presentation that's going to be described, that's going to be talked through in person. And here, I want people to focus on the key themes of what these steps are, but then there's more dense text, and that's in gray, and that's another learning from Cole, is to gray out the things you don't want people to pay attention to, but as this slide might serve as it's going to be in a report, and I want people to be able to reference it later. I don't want to completely remove it from this, from here. And again, carrying that framework throughout so that I'm labeling each of the statistical outputs based on which analytic step we're addressing in order to craft our data story. Last point here, another call out from Cole. If you look in the bottom left-hand corner, this is the numbers here represent the percentage of consumer segments that are the proportion of total. Oftentimes, I see this information displayed as a pie chart, and Cole hates pie charts. So she recommends just using simple text and trying to follow her guidance. Okay, now I'm going to take you through some more complex stats and how to display the stats and the numbers in an easy, maybe just easier to understand way. Here's some here's output for a relatively simple, I'll put that in quotes, analytic output that we use, penalty analysis, very widely used in the industry. However, what we, most of us in the room, might think is relatively straightforward, many people could have a spinning head deer in headlights moment with this output. And so moving with the theme of that coffee example, maybe a suggestion is to graphically illustrate how the penalty analysis calculation, how we calculate it, ground people in the calculation and the interpretation, and then show them that more deer in headlights summary. And then they'll have an understanding of what the red, green, and yellow means. And that's the previous slide is our exploratory analysis. Here's our explanatory. Again, here's exploratory SAS modeling output for a design of experiment or a DOE. I see this often, and every time I'm a spinning deer in headlights. And so I have to talk to the statistician to figure out, what's the aha? What do I really care about here? So in that example, the goal of the modeling was to identify the importance of the factors. And here's a possible way to display that. At the top, the larger bubble indicates that factor 3 was most impactful, followed by the smaller bubble, which is factor 2, and factor 1 was least impactful. Here's a perceptual map. I love these, the biplots. In the spirit of globalization, the goal of this map is to identify how countries cluster together based on their flavor preferences. Well, that's not obvious. So here's an attempt to make that map a little bit to get the aha out of that map. I'm removing the vectors. I know some of you might be gasping, but I'll leave the biplot with the vectors in the appendix so you know I didn't, you know, make this up, and draw bubbles around the countries, add the flags, call out what's the key theme of the attributes that are drawing these countries together. So this is an attempt at explanatory. Last example, and this is PLS regression, where this is some typical output to identify the rank order of attribute importance. Again, this would be where we are merging the descriptive data from Gail's team with the consumer quantitative data. And just showing this chart, it's an eye chart, it doesn't make much sense. So maybe a way to ground a person in how to interpret that output is to illustrate the relationship that the attributes have with overall liking. Green meaning that it's a positive driver, higher levels of that attribute are better. Yellow or orange meaning mid levels of that attribute are best. And lower meaning it's a negative driver. People want less of that attribute in their product. Key takeaways, exploratory analysis versus explanatory. And hashtag what would Cole do, find a reference for yourself that you could use for tips and tricks. If you are a deer in headlights and your head is spinning as you're interpreting the output, your audience most likely is too. So try to come up with those aha findings and a way to illustrate that you think might convey the message and get your data story across. Thank you.